Okay, so let's try to finish the bracha of Anothin L'Seach V'Vina. Don't worry, we're not going to take 2 weeks on every bracha. The next one is a unit, as I'm doing a 3 brachot at once on Pekeach Yevrim, Malbish Arumim, and what? No, not actually not, because Zokef Kavum goes with Matir Asurim. Those are going to go together. Right, but Pekeach Yevrim, what did I do it on? On Pekeach Yevrim, Malbish Arumim, and no, and sorry, and Zokef Kavum, whatever. I'm doing it on 3. Whatever I did, I have to look at what I put it in. Right, I put 3 together, the 3 that come from Telem Kufmeva. Well, let's see. No Tanya of Koch is very problematic, so we'll get to it. Okay, but in the meantime, we're finishing out on the Sefer Vina. So if you remember, so last week what we noted was, first of all, the first question you have to ask is, what is a Sechvi? Where on the one hand, simple reading of the Gemara is that it is a tarnagol, right? However, the simple reading of the Pasuk is that it's about your heart, human wisdom. So some, as we saw, Rashi seems to think, Rambam seems to think the bracha is actually on the rooster, right? Rashi, because he translates it here as tarnagol. Rambam, because since he thinks the bracha isn't on seder, isn't on minhago shel olam, right? You actually say it on the tarnagol, so maybe, right, that would be evidence, it's not clear. Others, like the tour, say, no, that's just the trigger. Really, it's on the mind, right? We saw that the Baruch Shamar tried to synthesize it, right, and say, well, it's both. Fine. Then what we did was we said, okay, but what insight can we gain from taking it in the context of Iyov Lamed Chet, where we noted that if you take it in the context of Iyov Lamed Chet, right, so first of all, right, the context there is you don't understand creation, right? And then it says something about Notei L'Seach V'Vina, which according to some, as we saw, was, well, you're the pinnacle of creation, right? You want to understand it, right? Some said that specifically you don't understand how the physical and the spiritual can live together. Well, man does that, right? And therefore, that is a raya that's possible. Or even just at a simple level, the point of that parak is creation is so great, right? You just, right, you need to understand how great creation is and things like that. So we noted that in that context, either saying that as you start the day, you're supposed to be in wonder of how much we don't understand, or you're supposed to realize that, look, human beings, the fact that we exist the way we do is itself a testament, thank you, is a testament to how great the world and God created is, right? All of those things seem to offer a new insight into why it is we start the day with this particular bracha, right? That's where we left off. Yeah? Yeah, that sounds right. Right, so that was, right, the Chelkat Mechokek, right? That was the last thing we saw. There's the Chelkot Mechokek who said that since the fundamental question human beings ask is how can the physical universe be imbued with spirituality, and the answer is look at mankind, right, who is the pinnacle of creation and has that synthesis, and therefore the rest of creation is also like that, right? That's just a great way to start the day, right? Which is to say, like, we stand in awe of what God has done, and we realize that we, right, represent the synthesis that permeates all of creation, right? And we start off the day that way. Okay, so we were up to Rav Kook, right? Right in here, right, so now let's try to pin down maybe some more details in it. So Rav Kook says as follows. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, hanotein l'sech vivina l'avchein ben yom uvein laila. Titgadel b'kirbeinu neshama. Right? The soul within us will grow. The light of our life in our innards will expand. Right? You have this English here. I don't even know who did this translation. Right? What will make our wisdom expand? When we really understand that all of existence is one. Shashlama hamagamatit ba'a mikibutz kol chalakav yachad. Right? They translate here that the tendentious completeness comes from the gathering of all its portions together. Adam hayulad la'amal. But the man who's born to toil, uzmanei chayav hamitchalfim bein menuchat halayla liyigiyat hayom. Right, who toils in the time of his life oscillate between night and day where we work, vasechvi, and the rooster, orer hashachar, which wakes up the morning, or wakens the dawn. Shelo yesh bina tivit la'amod al hamivchan lavchim yom v'layla, and it has the natural ability to discern between day and night. Be'mat b'riachati, we are like the rooster. Ruach achad oleich u'machid nevesh adam nevesh kol chaya kula. Human beings, animals are what? Ba'ofanim gluyim u'ba'ofanim stumim, in hidden ways and revealed ways. V'zman she'adam mit aleh chas al yamav, u'malei tafkido ha'elyon. And when a person, right, fulfills his tasks, harei kol hazmanim kol brim mit alim al yado, everything is elevated with him. V'chazon klali zem mit galehu lano al yaday ha'yachas shel ha'briya hazot ha'sechvi. This vision, right, so Rav Kook, like we saw in the Baruch Shamar, tries to come up with a synthesis. And how does he do that? He said, listen, human beings can elevate the world by doing what we're supposed to do in this world. And he says, the rooster, the way we relate to the rooster, hakorei b'kol hakitz nir damim, b'milui tafkido. He said, what does the rooster do? What's unique to the rooster? And what does it do? It wakes people up to do their task in life. Right? When you wake up in the morning, what is your alarm clock supposed to push you to do? Whatever, wake up and do what you're supposed to do in this world. And therefore, it is a symbol of our ability to do what we're supposed to do. Asher kulam yachad omdim lotzi el hapoal et hadarata shel nishman adam elyona.
So
Rav Kook, I think in many ways, both captures much of the sentiment of Eov, but also synthesizes the two meanings, right? Because he says, in what way is he channeling Eov, right? The Perek in Eov, where this pasuk comes from. Right? He's saying that this bracha is really about us recognizing the purpose of the cosmos in its entirety, right? Right. Correct. It's a little bit different, right? In that sense, I think he's picking up on the pasuk that it comes from. But then he says, okay, but if the bracha coming from Eov is about thanking God for the cosmos in their entirety and what we understand, what we don't, so what's the connection between them? So rather than focusing on intelligence, what does he focus on? Right, on... Right, on I would say on purpose, on teleology, right? On right, the bracha and the parak isn't just about the fact that God created the world, but it's about recognizing that there is a purpose to the world, right? That there's a telos to the world. The world is aiming at something. And he said, if that's the case, the world is aiming at something. Right? So he says for him, right? It's actually a dual bracha. It's a blessing on human beings, on our wisdom, our ability to have a purpose. The fact that not only do we have a purpose, but that our purpose, by fulfilling our purpose, it elevates all of the cosmos, which is an added element to this paragraph. It's not just that we stand in awe of the cosmos, but that when we realize that we're nothing in the cosmos, we realize the fact that we're here at all means we have a purpose and can elevate the cosmos. So Rav Kook says that's part of the bracha, but the other bracha is that we actually do bless on the rooster, because the rooster represents that which wakes up human beings in the morning, which is the moment at which we're supposed to, right, or commit, right, begin our filling our purpose, commit to filling our purpose.
It seems like it's like you're making a bracha.
Exactly, right? So it sounds like Rav Kook, right, what is this bracha? Is the bracha we make in the morning when we wake up, realize we have a purpose, and we make a bracha both on that which reminds us we have a purpose, which is the rooster, and on our own, right, which is one meaning of sechvi, and the other is on our own intelligence, which is the representation of our purpose. So we make a bracha on the recognition that we have a purpose, and on our commitment to that purpose, and our recognition, going back to Eo. Well, what does that have to do with creation? On the fact that all of creation is elevated through our fulfillment of that purpose, right? So Rav Kook seems to synthesize all of this together in his understanding of Hanotein Lasech Vivina. Okay? I think we already did the Aruch HaShulchan thing of Hanotein versus Natan, right? Okay. Now, the few other things I want to do is note that within this, many of the people who think that it's about wisdom, and you see this already in Rav Kook, they don't stop by saying that the bracha is about wisdom. What is implicit in Rav Kook's explanation of the bracha? That we're making a bracha about human wisdom, but it's not just any wisdom. It's a very specific type of wisdom. Right? For Rav Kook, what's the type of wisdom that you're making the bracha on? It's like the knowledge of our purpose or something like that, which might be quite expansive, right? But this already points out that even if we think it's about chachma, it's not about, right? You can argue about which type of chachma it is. And what I gave you were just a few examples of that. Do you? I mean, you're... Right, so this comes back to what it is, right? In the Siddur, right, Birchas Hazara thing comes first, at least in some Siddurim, in the Gemara, these come first, right? And then that goes back to our question, is it meant to be said? In Shul, is it meant to, right?
It's just, it seems like, because, like, I can understand starting the day with Muda on it, right? Like, the first thing is, like, acknowledging you exist, period.
Right.
God gave you existence. And after that, it's like, oh, now that I've acknowledged that I exist, God gave me an existence, now I acknowledge, like, thank you, God, for giving me a purpose. And then you would thank God for giving me the ability to learn Torah. I don't see why you would put the Torah before, like, that. Like, it doesn't make sense in
line. So that leads us to this next question, which is, okay, but what type of wisdom are we talking about? Like, let's focus now, right? So now, from the broad issues now, okay, let's assume it is about wisdom. So is it about just general wisdom, right? And then you have to start asking, well, how does it relate to Talmud Torah and the Bracha of the Torah, right? So that's what I want to see. I wanted to show you that a few of the Mepharshim really, drill into this and say, okay, but what type of wisdom is it? So if you look at the Gan Na'ul, for example, the Gan Na'ul says, "Mi shad b'tuchot chokma u'mi natan l'sach vivina." Right, going on the pasuk in Iyov, he says, "Perish chokma, koach ha'chokma ha'mikabel chukot ha'chokma u'mitzayrim pnima." Chokma for him is specifically that which discerns the rules of wisdom and internalizes them. What does that mean? So he really gets this from the Chovat al Vavot. So if you skip to the Chovat al Vavot for a second, he says, "Hashishit simana chokma nireit bechokmot uvimalot apu." Like, just read in English, right? He just says the sixth is the mark of wisdom, discernment in the sciences, arts, and crafts, which the Creator, blessed be, provided for man to contribute to his improvement, to enable him to obtain a livelihood and gain other benefits of a general and particular character. To this mark of divine wisdom, Scripture refers in the text, who has put wisdom in the inner parts, who has given understanding to the mind. Right? So, specifically commenting on this pasuk in Iyov, the Chovat al Vavot thinks it is, right? It's not knowledge, it's wisdom, meaning it's any wisdom that allows you to contribute to improvement. Now, it's a pretty wide range, right? He thinks your livelihood or any other benefits, right? Right, but it's not just knowledge, right? Meaning his point is not just knowledge, it's knowledge with a purpose,
well,
right? A pretty wide purpose.
I'm saying knowledge and wisdom are inherently contradictory, right? Like, they're not contradictory, but separate.
Right, I mean, how much he limits it, I don't know, but he does just add, right, he just clarifies that it's not just knowledge. What we're thanking God is that we have wisdom that can be used for a purpose, a wide set of purposes, but that's really what we're asking, that you gave us the ability to fulfill purpose. It should, doesn't necessarily mean it does. Well, this is the problem with the English, right? His point is that this phrase is capturing, right, the wisdom that has a purpose. That we're thanking God for giving us wisdom that has a purpose, right? Whatever you want to do it in English, right? You got to figure out. But that's what he thinks this bracha is about, right? We can figure out what the right word is in English for that. If you've gone looking at the gan na'ul, he notes, but wait a second, that there's a difference between chachma and bina. And he says this bracha specifically is about bina. So he says, what's the difference for him? So he says, mina tan lasechvi koach habina, sheba yavin halev hadvarim, ve'en al chachma v'abina atzman. So now he makes something very interesting. He says, it's not about bina per se, it's about our ability to use bina to understand things. Im lo yikabel adam chachma, lo yimtzenem bituchotav, lo yishtamesh bekoach habina lavin, bimlichor chachma maaseh, lo yavin bina. So now he says, it's very careful. Why does he say, Anatan l'sechvi vina? Because the bracha for him, or the pasuk for him, is not about the concept of wisdom. It's about human beings having wisdom and being able to use it, right? It's, if it was about wisdom, you would have said, thank God for wisdom. But he says, look at what it's quoting. It's quoting a pasuk, right, that God gives it to people, meaning, for him, right, more precisely what this bracha is about, and maybe this is obvious, but I think we still have to spell it out, is not on bina as a theoretical characteristic, like wisdom out there, like in the Greek sense, right? Like speak to wisdom, right? Like a Mishlei, right? Personified wisdom, right? It's about our ability to have wisdom, to use wisdom, right? And therefore, right, he's using this to explain why we don't just thank God for wisdom. What we thank God is for, right, all right, now, which here is to give human beings the ability to use wisdom, right? So again, is that obvious? Maybe it is obvious, right? But I think both from Rav Kook and from this, what's becoming clear is you need to be very specific. That once you say it's about human being and it's about wisdom, it's not about wisdom like existing, like thank God there is wisdom, there are books on the shelf, right? It's you're specifically thanking God that you gave us the ability to understand things. So for Rav Kook, you gave us the ability to have wisdom that we need to fulfill our purpose in the world, right? The very specific type of wisdom, which again, maybe it's obvious, but I'm not sure it always is. I'm not sure it always is that that's really what we're thanking God for.
Do you give like a practical application of what this wisdom that would be like describing that we're getting like a huge one?
What do you mean?
Like give an example of what this usable wisdom would be.
I'm saying, if you
I can see that that's orange and that's green, and I conceptually understand that.
Right, and that's why I'm not sure that's what he would think it is, right? It could be more the ability to understand morality, the ability to understand right from wrong, right? Things like that, right? Because that, even there's the ability to appreciate God's world and allow that to affect the way you think about God, right? Among other things, right? Meaning he casts the net pretty wide, but he makes it clear it's a certain type of practical wisdom, right? Okay. That's mostly what I want to say on Noten L'Sech V'Vina, not on the Bracha, right? There's... Right? But there's a few more things we just got to sort of polish off, which is, okay, there is more to this Bracha, which is after we finish on Noten L'Sech V'Vina, what do we continue with? Okay, does that add anything to this bracha? So I don't think there's that much, but I gave you just a little bit. So if you look at the Avud Raham in 26, the Avud Raham says, Tishishomea kol tarnagol mevarach barachat Hashem elokeinu baruch olam anotein lasech vivina lavchin ben yom uvein, or he had lahavin rather than lavchin, right? But either to understand the difference between day and night or distinguish between them. So brachot elu afal bishem smuchon in potlo bebarach mneshem katzar. Okay, so he gets into the technicalities. Skip to the next line. He says, "Anotein l'sech v'vina pasuku." The first half of the bracha is a pasuk from, as we saw, Eov. And then he gives a few different explanations of why it's called a sechvi. But then, if you skip to his second to last line, he says, "V'zeu shomer lahavchin, klomar shiavchinu abriot v'yedu shematchil hayom." And that which we say lahavchin, meaning to distinguish, that people should be able to distinguish, or creatures be able to extinguish this, distinguish the difference between day and night. Zeu davar pela she'in ba'olam yishyodea lahavchin ben yom ve'in layla. Va'filu ha'adam shu ba'aldea va'asechel ela ha'tarnagol. V'gam v'chatzot ha'layla umirag shivikore. Right? So he says that within the context of the thinking that it's the tarnagol, right, he thinks it is important, because if it is the tarnagol, so it's not just you gave the tarnagol wisdom. Its wisdom is unique. That is the only animal that has this like inner sense that of lavchin ben yom ve'in layla. Right? He says you should note that in the end of the day, it's not just, right, if it's about the tarnagol, right, then there's a good reason why it's lavchin ben yom ve'in layla, because that is its unique power. No other creature has that innate ability to know the difference. Because when does it crow? As soon as, right? It's like.
Well, that's not true, though. I don't.
Yeah.
It's not true that it has the ability to distinguish.
I mean, clearly it does.
No, I'm saying that the tarnagol, the thing about it that's unique is that it crows in between day and night. It doesn't mean that it, like, specifically. Oh,
right, meaning.
There's nocturnal predators. They have the same ability to.
Well. Again, right, you could, right, quibble, right? I mean, his point is that it's not just that, because even in the dead of night, right, it crows at different times,
well,
depending. But, right, so for him, the point is that if it is the tarnagol, so its unique ability is in this ability to tell the difference day and night. Now, but let's say you think it's about human wisdom, so why would that be the case, right? Why? What's the importance of the second half of the bracha? Lavchen b'yom v'in layla. It's not clear. Right, and that's why I think, right, Rav Kook was trying to answer that question, right? Just spell out that idea, right? Meaning, right, so far we talked about it, but we didn't really get to Lafa Meyolis. He says, if it's a rooster, it's obvious, that's his koach. But according to Rav Kook, right, why is it, of all things that we could say, right, why do we say Lafa Meyolis? So for Rav Kook, that's symbolic, which is, the wisdom we're talking about is the wisdom that gets you to commit to fulfilling your task in life. When is that represented? Right, when is that reflected? When you start your day. Right, when you wake up in the morning, right, there is, right, what Rav Kook is getting at is that even if it's about human wisdom, there is something unique about knowing when the day starts, right? There is a unique type of knowledge that is built into that. For him, it's about knowing your purpose in life.
Right. All right, so
right, so he thinks it is, right? I don't know if it is. Correct. Right, that could be. Right. It could be, right? Now, the Sfat Emet assumes that we're going on wisdom again, right? That it's really on wisdom. So he says, okay, so then why do we say lavchin ben yom ve'in layla? So again, we saw one perspective of Rav Kook, that each day anew, right, we take on our task. The Sfat Emet says this in a different way as well. And he says as follows. The Pasuk says, Re'e anochi no ten lefnechem hayom bracha al klala. The Pasuk says in Re'e, right, behold, I have given you today, what? Blessing and curse, right? Bracha uklala. And then what does the Torah command you? Uvacharta b'chayim. And you have to choose life. So the Sfat Emet quotes his, Mori Rabbis, the Chiddush HaRim, and he says, okay, the simple pshat of the bracha, as he understands it, is Re'ein atati lefnechem hayom bracha uklala uvacharta b'chayim. Choosing chayim, but when? So the way he reads it is every day, right? Not just the day that Moshe is saying, but every day. Meaning, he says, "Shenikba b'chol ish Yisrael shuchal avchin v'lchor rak b'bracha." Said each human being has the ability I think that's what we've got here, yeah. To distinguish between, right, good and bad. And therefore he says, but because the Pasuk says Hayom, that means each day we have the ability anew to choose what's right.
Why doesn't it say
No, Hayom, because it's because whoever reads the pasuk, whenever you read the pasuk, you should imagine Moshe is talking to you now, and he says Valzeh Mivarchim B'chol Yom Noten Lasech Vivina, and that's why. That's what this bracha is about. V'chein v'midrash shakadosh baruch hu milameid lanu uvacharta b'chayim. And then he says, "V'nira perish hayom shebechol yom bechira chadasha." Each day it's a new choice. I mean, whatever you did yesterday, however bad you were yesterday, every day you have a new choice to do what's right. Now, if that's the case, lavchin bin yom bin laila, it actually makes a lot of sense, right? Because if you just said it's about wisdom, right? So Rav Kook gave one, but this is very similar to Rav Kook, but slightly different. His point is, if it's about your wisdom, so why do you say it specifically every morning, lavchin bin yom bin laila? To remind yourself that every day you have the ability to make new choices, right? Regardless of what you did yesterday, lavchin bin yom bin laila, you have the ability to recognize that today is not yesterday. And therefore, today you make new choices, right? If yesterday you made the wrong choices, today you can make the right choices. And if yesterday you made the right choices, you still have to choose to make the right choices again, right? And therefore, the way he reads it is, Hanotein l'sech v'vina, you give human beings the ability to make choices, lavchin ben yomu ben laila. Every day they recognize that it's not the same as yesterday, right? Each day you have the wisdom to make the choices, and your choice to, right, distinguish between good and evil and follow the right one, every day is unique. Now, you're right. You could say then it should be, I don't know. Right. Right. I assume that, and I assume for this, the imagery really is, well, right. So it could be that there's a symbolism there, right, of day versus night being, right, good versus bad. It could be, right. It could just be that, as we know, it's not just about, it's not like we just say, when you say things will look better tomorrow, right, what we really mean is things will look better in the morning. Right, we all sort of know that, right? Like there is something about like you go to sleep, right? Right, it's not just between days, right? It's the cyclical nature of the calendar. We're like we go to sleep and we wake up and we feel refreshed. That specifically gives us that ability. Sometimes it's like yesterday was a bad day, today's gonna be better, right? I mean, I think that's really what Chush Harim is getting at is that Hanotein l'sech v'vina, you give us wisdom to distinguish in good and bad. But every day we recognize that today is a new day from yesterday. A few last points. First of all, halachic point. There might be a halachic difference between whether you think it's Tarnagol or... So that's one, but the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say what happens if you wake up in the middle of the night, right? A chatzot, and you hear it crowing. So he says, well, it might depend. Right, if it's about a tarnagol, you might actually have to wait for yom, right? Like when it crows, right? When it tells lachem ben yom v'laila. If you're making a general brach on human wisdom, the ability to tell the difference, so then I went to sleep, I woke up, that might be enough, right? So this might, and if you see, you look at Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah, you see that this is a suffix. Holy up. Okay, what else did I give you here? I gave you, right, sort of like afterthoughts, a bit more mystical ideas, just so that you know they exist. So, for example, the Ben Yehoyada thinks that it really is about the Tarnagol, but it's neither about the Tarnagol nor about human wisdom. It's about the symbolic meaning of the Tarnagol. And he says the Tarnagol is a remez for Gvura. I don't know why this is. Don't ask me, but he quotes the Arizal, who says that Sechvi is Gavriel. That Sechvi is Gavriel, who is the Malach of Din and Judgment. I don't know what you raise, and therefore he says what you're doing is you're making a bracha on, I mean, I'll look at it, right? Again, this was sort of an afterthought. I don't really understand it, but I wanted to sort of give you the range. But he says, Ki chivariach karbala de tarnagola. So he takes this actually from an earlier Gemara. Remember the demon Gemara, right? Or right, sorry, not the demon Gemara. Dav Zion, after the demon's Gemara, the Gemara says, if you want to, like, kill your enemies, right, then you should curse someone at the moment when God is angry. And he says, how do you know when he's angry? When the thing of the rooster whitens, right? The, what's it called?
The beard.
The whatever. The thingy, whatever, yeah. That thing. So he says, aha, what you see is that the rooster is the simon of Gvura, is the simon of Din, right? So Aulam mitkayem al yidar ratzon al yom shamu so lavan al yom kana davel chin libun ze yerkav av yadu akir ratzon al yom mitkalel amal ametzach al yom. Right. So he said, basically, what are you really making a bracha on? That, like, on the proper balance, essentially, of right din and not din. Right. That's really what you're doing. Right. Because as we said, if God was angry the whole time, the world would be destroyed. But the fact that there's a lahavchin, that there's a distinction, that there's the moment in which God is angry, represented by the tarnagol, and there's the rest of life, is how life, right, continues to exist. So according to that reason, apparently that's what you're making the bracha on, right? Is this, like, symbolism of the tarnagol, of God's attribute of gvura. I don't know exactly what that means. But okay. In the Likutei Halachot of Rav Nachman of Breslov, he also has a symbolic read that night is the symbolism of Hastara, of God hiding himself. And therefore he goes symbolically, that's true of night, that's true of Galut, which is symbolized with night, right? Basically, night in all its symbolism is when God is hidden. And therefore day is when God is revealed. Exactly. So what's the bracha of Anoten L'Sech Vivina? Is that the Hester becomes, right, Hitgalut. Right? That what you're doing is you're thanking God that the periods in which he's hidden give way to the periods in which he's revealed. And the symbol of that is the rooster, which crows at the moment at which the light starts. So Rav Nachman takes a very symbolic, mystical view, which is night and everything associated with night. Galut, da-da-da, is when God is hidden. Day and Geula is when God is revealed. Therefore, the Tarnagol is the call of the Tarnagol is essentially what for him? Is the moment at which God reveals himself, and what you're making the bracha on is? Right. Revealing himself. And therefore it's Anoten L'Sech Vivina L'Avchin Ben Yom Ben Laila, that you gave the koach that there's a distinction between nightness and dayness. Right? So through this sort of metaphorical read of roosters and day and night, right, he explains the whole bracha, right, in a different way, right? So, what? Sure. Okay. Fine. I'll skip down here. Another possibility on the day versus night. So if you just look at the Avudraham. The Avudraham didn't say it here, but he says it in Mariv. So I want to borrow from the Avudraham from Mariv to this. So if you look at this, is on Hamavra Yomu Mevi Laila. You know. So there, the Avudraham says Mavra Yomu Mevi Laila Umavil Biyomu Mevi Laila Klomar Mavir Hayom Litzad Echad Umevi Halaila. Right. So this is, I think, is very nice. He says, why do we say mavdil? Because the way God created the world is not that there's day and there's night, and like at night God, Hashem, extinguishes the sun and then he brings it back. Right? It's, they're separated, but they both continue to exist. Right, the way the world works is there's a distinction between day and night, even though they both exist. Right, that's mavdil. Right, and therefore it's ma'avir. Right, mavdil. Right, these words. And therefore he says, right, when it becomes light, it becomes like naturally, right, because like the sun's going right, the world's going around, the sun is coming up. Right, I think that might also add here that it's lahavchin ben yom u'ben laila. It's that
part of what we're recognizing with God is that the world has a continuity with distinctions in it. It's not that like, right, God, right? It's not like when I turn on a light, right? It was off before it's on now. It's that they both, right, there's a continuity. The world is always, part of the world is always day, right? There's a reality to it despite the fact that there's a continuity, right? The distinction is real, but it's not absolute, right? I think that might also be part of what we're doing is that we're saying, listen, there's a distinction between them, even though, right? I know the difference of day and night, even though day and night, at a certain level, both continue to exist at the same time. And nevertheless, there's a real difference, right? So I wonder if that's not also part of this.
The Reb and Yakar actually seems to have a slightly different take on this. He says, Hanotein lesechvi vina, lesechvi vina, sechvi hainu ri'iya. He says, sechvi actually is not wisdom or the tarnagol, it's the ability to see. Sharei ha-tarnagol yodei lechavein tchilat kol shara laila, because right, it's through sight that, what? Yeah, so I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know, but that's how he takes it. Fine. Okay, last shot. Okay, last shot. And this was totally from left field, but it's very interesting. The Alei Tamar, right? Yisachar Tamar in his Pirush on the Yerushalmi has the following radical read about it. Okay? He notes the following. Look at 35. It says, Haroa Aluchsin Omer Baruch Chacham Arazim. There's a special bracha that the Mishnah says that if you see 600,000 Jews at the same time, so then you say the bracha of Chacham Arazim. What's Chacham Arazim? The God who is wise of all secrets. Why do you say that the wise one who knows all secrets when you see 600,000 people? So the Mishnah says, Kishem Shein Partzufein Domen Zelazeh, Kachin Daitan Domen Zelazeh. Because just like their face is not the same, their minds are not the same. Right? That God managed to create. Right. The Yerushalmi has a shocking position. Yerushalmi says, Kara HaGever, when the rooster crows, Omer Baruch Chacham Harazim. You, right? The Mishnah says you only say the bracha if you see 600,000 Jews. The Yerushalmi says you say that bracha every time you hear the rooster. Makashur. And right, and then quotes the Pasuk in Eov. So what's the connection? So Yisachar Tamar says, Mashma shebe Eretz Yisrael ha-mivarchen b'makom birkara noten l'sech vina baruch chacham harazim. It says the simple shot of this Yerushalmi is that in Eretz Yisrael, they did not start the day with Hanotein Lasech Vivina. They started it with Chacham HaRazim. Right? Umuvu'ar shistam brightly with Yerushalmi kedat Reb Sheila v'lo kedat Rebbe. Umash ma shem and avisam and gemar v'shkalam sham. So that seems to be the pshat here. Now, that is a halachic statement. It's quite radical. Okay? But let's assume he's right. So you could just say that that means, okay, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi have different views of how you start the day. But what's the other possibility? I mean, they definitely, if this is true, they definitely have different opinions. But the question that's left is, can you learn something about the bracha we do say from its alternative? Right? I think you could at least plausibly say that it is, because what does the Mishnah say Chacham HaRazim is a blessing on? Because they each have different ideas, right? That's what the Bavli says. The reason you said Bavli is 600,000 people because you recognize not just that people have wisdom, but that people think differently, right? If, in fact, the Yerushalmi says you start every day with this bracha, that means you're not just thanking God for the Tarnagon, you're not just thanking God for wisdom, you're thanking God for the fact that every human being is individual and has their individual wisdom, right? And if, in fact, the Bavli, Notin L'Sech Levina, is supposed to capture a similar idea to the Yerushalmi's Chacham HaRazim, then it could be that part of the bracha isn't just that we have wisdom, but that we each have our own capabilities, right? Which is unique.
I don't know, but that's what Yerushalmi says, right? That when you hear the Tarnagol. So again, so that's why I'm suggesting that what it is, well, wait a second. If we know that in the Bavli, it might, the bracha might be about wisdom, right? And the Yerushalmi, instead of saying anotin l'sech levina, says achacham arazim, which the Mishnah says is about blessing God for the different opinions that everybody have. So it could be that what the Yerushalmi thinks, and maybe even the Bavli, is that the bracha isn't just about wisdom in general, or not even about a specific type of wisdom, but that you make it, you start the day by thanking God for individuality. So that's just a thought to throw out, which I think is fascinating. You know, Chanami, but the whole thing is weird from the Tanakh. Okay, we have to stop for Mincha.